The best insight, instant feedback, accountability, the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And we say many thanks going out to Superfarm, our sponsor for the Lunchtime Doctor for today. Of course, Superfarm, more savings in store at Superfarm, your prescription of trust. It's time now for the Lunchtime Doctor, Dr. Sophia Mohammed, your favorite doctor, right here on the TBC Network. We're being heard on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. Good afternoon to you, Doc.
Good afternoon, Bass, and good afternoon to all those who are locked in to your Lunchtime Doctor. This is the program that you get to dissect those medical challenges. We get to figure out exactly what is concerning and point out those red flags. We also invite you to share with us what's on that lunchtime plate. Tell me, share with me, what have you been learning as a health habit, putting it into your life, acting, putting it into action? And of course, what are you sharing with your community? Remember, we are here to make Trinidad and Tobago a healthier place. I am Dr. Sophia Mohammed, here for the next hour, your Lunchtime Doctor.
All right, folks, so we're back in Freedom Studios. So our numbers are 627-3223-625-2257. And of course, your WhatsApp message is 306-1065. Of course, between today being Tuesday, let's find out what we had in our Health Plus for today.
So today we talked a little bit about that volunteering and the health benefits. During the July, August time frame, there are a lot of young interns, young persons, and we must encourage their development and their mentorship. But in addition to they giving back, they're also doing quite a bit for themselves in terms of the health benefits. So I wonder, does our audience know that there is health benefits in terms of counteracting the effects of stress, anxiety, combating depression, even stimulating those hormones, those neurochemicals in the body that trigger satisfaction, satiety, and happiness? So yes, volunteering can make you happier, combating depression. All of that is what we talked about in our Health Plus, and we showcased some of our young interns. Now, these are sixth formers associated, volunteered with the Diabetes Association of Trinidad and Tobago, and they've been able to engage through an internship program we built to, in order to accelerate their development. They've been able to learn a little bit about mass communication, healthcare promotions, advocacy, diabetes management, all at the sixth form level. Because we know that our diabetes patients is one we really want to get a handle of, and we want that information across the board at all levels. We have young children being diagnosed, we have children going to school experiencing symptoms and signs and symptoms of type 1 diabetes. So these young interns are now advocates out there that can help educate the population. I want to take the time to really congratulate them and their parents who invested that time frame for them to participate in this internship.
So let's take a couple of questions that we had yesterday that we didn't get to go through. A good day, doctor. I suffer from very bad migraines. Oh, when I get them, they last for days at a time. What can I do?
So migraines is unfortunately one of those things that can be quite debilitating. Believe me, caller, I feel that distress. First and foremost, I am sure you may already know that there are triggers that offset the migraines at different levels of severity. Some may be stress, some may be the foods that you eat. Even caffeine can be a trigger, or dairy products. So one, we want to see as best as possible how we could either avoid or mitigate. Now, one may wonder, how does one ever mitigate against stress? It is the daily occurrence. In fact, early on, we just had quite a little bit of a stressful experience right here in the building, and we'll talk about that just now. But when it comes to managing migraines, we want you to identify the triggers so we avoid it. Then we go into, there are things you can do at home. There are a host of medications that is useful and very effective in help combating migraines. We must be able to diagnose what is the type of the migraine, because there can be cluster headaches, there can be temporal headaches, and you may even need to engage in a neurologist to get that definitive guidance. At home, in addition to avoiding those triggers, when you're experiencing the migraine, you may want to reduce the sensations. And when I say reduce the sensations, reduce the stimuli in terms of light, in terms of noise. During medical school, migraines were something that plagued me. And it was also because there was lack of sleep. So we're finding that balance. And when those migraines came on, sometimes there'd be the aura, the vomiting, the entire feeling of upset, just nauseous. So you want to be able to mitigate against all of those as well. There are, even if you want to avoid a couple of medications, there are many herbal teas that will help settle, make you feel a little bit more comfortable. So we're looking at reducing the triggers. We're looking at identifying the aura and knowing when it is coming on. Yoga and meditation can also help bring you into that calm. And of course, there are the medications that can help manage it properly and consistently. Hope that answers your question.
Of course, let's get another one from yesterday. I have been experiencing extreme tiredness and also sometimes I can't sleep at nights. What can be causing this?
Now, I'm not too sure if that's a male or a female. It depends on, because different factors will interplay for different ages and different genders, of course. If it is indeed a female and you may be during that perimenopause, we've been opening that conversation on menopause and perimenopause because many females experience that difficulty sleeping, insomnia in that perimenopausal time as the hormonal changes, you know, affect the body in different ways. So we want to make sure that if that's the case, we are looking at that trigger. If it's insomnia, can have many different causes. It may be directly stress-related. It may be because of the work, your activity, just before you're heading into bed. Some persons really do not have a proper sleep hygiene. And when I say sleep hygiene, here's what I'm talking about. They may decide to eat just 1 hour before they're going into sleep, eating on the couch and fall asleep on the couch. So they get that first snooze on the couch. So by the time they go to their bed to actually sleep, there's that discomfort. There isn't the need to feel rested. So we want to ensure you have a proper sleep hygiene. It's actually recommended to have your meal at least 3 to 4 hours before heading into sleep. So if sleep time is 9-10 o'clock, your last meal should be about 6-7 o'clock in the night. You also want to disengage from digital media, be it your phone. Let that not be the last thing you look at before you go to sleep, because unfortunately it leaves that impression on the retina. And yes, these things may feel a little overwhelming. How am I doing all of this? Just make one little change at a time and you'll see the changes. But we also want to ensure we're ruling out any pathology. We have quite a few number of cases we see as obstructive sleep apnea. One may be snoring during the night, and that's why you're feeling exhausted during the day, because the sleep is not quality sleep. So let's make sure we rule out those pathologies. Let's make sure we invest in a little bit better sleep hygiene, and I'm certain you will see the changes.
All right, Doc. I don't forget if you remember the person had mentioned that they smell like sulfur when they sweat. You're supposed to
Definitely.
Look it up.
Yes. So we did look through that. And yes, there are certain foods that can affect your sweat. If it is, you're having a fair amount of, while garlic can be helpful, things like garlic, things like even your turmeric can affect the sweat. And that's why we always talk about in moderation. These high-powered foods can also affect the sweat based on what level, what amount you are having during the course of the day. So we want to make sure the foods are okay. But you also want to ensure that hygiene is a very important thing. And for cases of hyperhidrosis, which is an excessive amount of sweating, there may be some level of pathology with the lymph nodes and the sweat glands. Sometimes there may be a swelling at the lymph nodes, so I will encourage you to ensure there isn't any bumps, any swelling under the armpits. If there are, please get it checked out. Hope that answers the question.
All right, folks, of course, our numbers are 627-3223, 625-2257. All right, Doctor, in what ways do you personally reduce stress?
Excellent question. I have talked about this over and over. All of our listeners know I have a very active young son. He's 11 years old, and I try to blend that. So we both go and exercise together. We both enjoy some sort of yoga or meditation together. Guess what? That way, I know I'm ticking off on the list, spending time with him. That's some of our bonding time. And we're also exercising. We're getting to talk. A very important part of how I manage my stress is that there are considerable boundaries. And that is something that we all need a level of emotional intelligence to put in play. And when I say boundaries, not all things do I allow to stress me. I'm sure you've heard the message, not every battle is one worth fighting for. There are going to be things on a daily basis that's going to throw you off, that you may feel anxious, angry about. Does it deserve that response? Mm-mm. So I'm very mindful of my own energy and my own reactions to certain things. Yes, certain things do really become peeved, and those I will take a certain action on. But I'm mindful of the energy I engage in stressful experiences. And last but not least, so we can talk about the ABCs. You know, I do ABCs for everything. A, I'm aware of what triggers me. B, I blend different activities with my son and manage my boundaries. And C, I'm very aware of the choices I have to make in managing that stress. What is that choice? I can exhaust my day and have 25 meetings, or I can make sure I probably do less than that and schedule some time for my own personal relaxation and rejuvenation, be it watering my plants, be it just chatting with a loved one, be it doing something that I feel enjoyment with. Every day, 10 to 15 minutes. And that's just my quick ABCs of how I manage my stress.
Okay. Stress. This place could have you under a lot of stress. All right. Good afternoon, Doctor. Good day, Doc. My daughter has the blackness around her neck and under the arms. We did a sugar test. She don't have any sugar problems. Can you give me a little insight about what tests I can do? Thank you.
Excellent. I'm so sorry that's what your daughter is experiencing. That darkness or hyperpigmentation around the back of the neck, the nape of the neck, or under the armpits is called acanthus nigricans. I'm glad the glucose was not off, but I would still want that monitored. I hope you all did specifically the glucose tolerance tests and not just the random blood sugar test, because that's not indicative enough. I'd also want you to do an HbA1c, the glycosylated hemoglobin. Another thing that could be off is the thyroid function. When one is going through that adolescent time, and again, that's another time frame in the body where there's a host of hormonal changes. So those things can present on the skin in these manners. So we want to check the thyroid in addition to checking the glucose, but I do hope you did the glucose tolerance test. Hope that answered the question.
All right, folks, of course, 627-3223, 625-2257. Those are our numbers. And feel free, of course, to message our other frequencies, our 106.1 Sangeet, Sky 99.5 FM, and Vibe City 105 FM, and they will forward your messages right to us. Good afternoon. This is an embarrassing question. Passing gas, is it healthy or unhealthy? Thanks.
It's not an embarrassing question. I understand where you're going. Here's the thing. Every single one of us must clear the bowels. This morning on CNC3, Dr. Santi LeBlanc and our host were talking about stool management. This is the daily function, because the day you do not pass gas or the day you do not pass stool, you have much more problems to be considering. So is it healthy? Yes. If there are changes, like if you find you much more frequently than usual, if there's abdominal distension or bloating, if you're finding that all of a sudden there's increased bowel motility, as in probably diarrhea, or the converse, if there's constipation, that's when I become concerned, as in red flags, because those either can have a pathology, as in some sort of disease process, or there can be some problem that's triggering it. But nothing is wrong with passing gas. Of course, we must be respectful. We're not going to all of a sudden decide that Dr. Mohammed said it's okay to pass gas. So let's just make sure we be respectful in all of our activities. Hope that answers the question.
That was funny. Hello, good afternoon. Hello, good afternoon. All right. What was that one there? 627-3223-625-2257. What about passing gas too frequently, Doc? Like, you know, may that be... Does that mean that something is wrong with you?
Definitely. So if it is more than usual, and the body will know, you will know, yes, something is wrong. It may be that you're having reflux on the upper end, and then that is the continuation of the gas passing downwards. Because remember, the gut starts at the upper end from the mouth, goes through the esophagus to the stomach, then connected to the other organs, and then beads into the GI tract, your gastrointestinal tract, and then comes all the way out from small intestine to large intestine and to the perianal canal. So you're connected from the mouth to the anal canal. It's one complete connection. So yes, if there's an over frequency of passing gas and bloating, there are a number of things we want to consider and rule out.
All right. Hello, good afternoon, caller. All right, we seem to be having some problems over here as well. 627-3223-625-2257.
So if any one of our callers are trying to get through, we literally just had a little bit of a technical shutdown because the fire alarms went off in the building. We apologize on this end. You can send us the messages on WhatsApp, and I will be here tomorrow between 12 to 1.
All right, and we do have two lines. If you're not getting through to one line, you could try the other one. So if you're not getting through to 627-3223, you could try 625-2257. Or vice versa, or both of our lines are open and out. Let's go back to the WhatsApp. That line is still ringing again. All right, let's try it one more time. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Problems on your end, right?
Dr. Mohammed, I've just had not embarrassing, but a humiliating experience at my clinic this morning. I had a visit about 2 or 3 weeks ago in the walk-in clinic, and I was told, let me put this correctly. I addressed incorrect prescription I was given as I was leaving the clinic. So I went back, and I spoke to the doctor. I said, this is not the right medication. I got the book thrown at me practically. It's like, who gave you this prescription? I said, it was at this clinic. She changed it, but she was so angry, she literally, when she went back into the office, she slammed the door. I'm surprised the door didn't fall off its hinges. I left that be. Today, I went back to the very same clinic. Now, I had a dog bite on Saturday, and I went to casualty on Sunday. I was given a referral letter to take to the clinic so that the doctor at the clinic could monitor the infection, to monitor the bite and see if there's any infection developing. I had antibiotics in the meantime. So I went back today, which was not a walking day, and I was told I cannot see the doctor. I said, well, I've got a referral letter from casualty. I need to discuss this with a doctor. Well, you can't today. You have to come in on Monday or come in next month. when you have an appointment. Now, today I was there for a blood test for cholesterol. And they told me I have to come back. I can't do anything. They can't do anything for me. They were quite rude. I said to the staff, the reception staff, well, I asked her name. She refused to give it to me. I stood there waiting. And then they sent me to another person. I went over to that person. I asked if she was a nurse. She said to me, no, I'm a cleaner. She wasn't. She was a nurse. She was just being sarcastic. I explained the situation to her again. She said, no, sorry, you can't see a doctor today because I told her I'm prepared to wait. I need to see a doctor. I'm prepared to wait. She said, no, you can't. I asked for her name. She took her badge and just shoved it in front of my face. And
allow me to apologize. You know, it really disturbs me. This is one of those things that causes a lot of serious frustration. I am so incredibly sorry that you've experienced this. And you're not the first that I've heard this from. Even when I worked in the public healthcare system, sometimes I would have to go and advocate for patients and we're waiting to see the patients. And the initial staff on the outside literally sometimes block these patients. What I do know is that there are a number of Ministry of Health officials that tune into this program. So I want you to either send us a WhatsApp message to the name of the institution, or if you feel brave enough to mention it on air, please do. I want to make sure that we address this properly. You know, service, the way we speak to people, customer service, communication is so important. My dear, I am so sorry you have experienced this. Unfortunately, I'm not in that position to be able to guide what that next step would be in the public health system because I'm not part of the public health system. But I want you to send us a message in terms of the name of this institution. And I will personally bring it up into any one of our next meetings when we have any health, because this is unacceptable and that's not the way we should be treating our patients. I do hope, oh gosh, having had a dog bite that is quite serious, you said it happened over the weekend, today is Tuesday, and I do hope that it's not becoming infected. I do also hope that if you need to see a healthcare professional, if one is not available in the public health system, that you are in that position to seek private health care. It may be, and if this is the case, they should have communicated it better. It may be that particular area may not have had clinics, because some days may be, say, obstetric clinics, some days may be ophthalmology clinics, some days may be medical clinics. So it may just be, but if that was the case, all they had to do was just show a little bit of compassion and explain it properly. We really need to address some of those situations where their healthcare professionals not being professional. So thank you so much for messaging in. Again, my heart goes out to you. I feel this distress, but I do hope you do get some sort of resolution, especially because it's a dog bite, and I can imagine the frustration and fear you're going through. Thank you so much again for bringing this to our attention.
All right, thank you there very much, caller. Once again, 627-322-3625-2257. Blessed good afternoon, doctor. My right shoulder, I'm experiencing pain in my left shoulder. What is the problem?
Right. Now, when it comes to both of our shoulder pains, yes, arthritis is one of those things that definitely sets in as we age. But I want you to ensure that it's not anything particular with the entirety of the joint. You see, the shoulder joint is made up of tendons, ligaments, and sometimes, be it in the way we sit, in the way we pick up things, we may unavoidably stretch, tear, so have some muscle becoming sore. So that may be the one reasons for the pain, or it could be an arthritic process based on previous trauma. What you definitely need to do is please get it x-rayed, get it checked out by a healthcare professional, because once there's pain in the joint, there's some sort of inflammatory process happening, and it will only get worse if there isn't any treatment. At home, you can put the cold packs that will certainly help ease some of the pain or swelling or inflammation that's happening within the joint. But most times than not, NSAIDs, the anti-inflammatories, are necessary to reduce that overarching pain. Hope that answers the question.
All right. Good day, Doc. And this is someone, if someone has a small cyst on the ovary, can medications help?
Definitely. That's what is the first-line treatment. So there are ovarian cysts, or there can be cysts as part of the syndrome, polycystic ovarian syndrome. And yes, we do start medications. In fact, it's the over-the-counter, the OCPs, or your hormonal treatment, in terms of not just mitigating and minimizing the size of these cysts, but ensuring that there aren't other cysts developing. First and foremost, we try to establish what is the reason for the cysts, what is the trigger for it, because yes, even other medical conditions within the endometrium can cause cysts. So we'll want to establish what is the cause of it. Your doctor might do an ultrasound of the abdomen or even ask you to do a couple blood investigations. But yes, there are medications that can help reduce and mitigate those cysts. Hope that answers the question.
All right, let's try this line here. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dr. Mohammed. It's such a pleasure to listen to you, the response that you give to people who call. And, you know, with this lady with her plight, you know, going to this clinic and experience and whatever, you know, she got from whatever, the nurses or whoever. You know, it is, you know, you give people so much of hope. And I must say, you're a godsend person, and we are so lucky to have you on the air. I hope God always protect you and keep you going in a positive way. You are compassionate. You are such a wonderful person. Thanks a lot.
My dear, thank you so much. But I want to also add that there are many, many healthcare professionals that are also very similar. And please don't let one bad egg, as they say, spoil the rest. That's also why we engage in these mentoring sessions for our young professionals. If we know what the problems are, we must train them and upskill them so they know how to be good, compassionate healthcare professionals. It is from a place of who my parents are, who my relatives are. My mom was one who insisted upon, if you are in a space of serve the people to the best of your ability. There's no greater blessing than that. She served the community of Charleville within Central. She was a teacher for several years, then moved on to a principal. She served in the education sector for 40 years of her life. So I think it's part of my DNA, part of my genes. But I also want to encourage all the parents, all the grandparents out there, if your grandchild, if your child is entering a healthcare field, encourage them. There's no greater characteristic than to develop than that of compassion. Yes, you can be how intelligent, but if one is not compassionate, then what are you really in the area of service for?
All right, good day, Doc. What causes swelling above the toes and ankle?
Now, we've talked quite a bit about this swelling around the ankle and especially around the toes. If one is having heart failure, then you will see that swelling around the ankles, or it could be an autoimmune condition. So we want you to ensure you're being checked out, because there are a host of things that can cause swelling around the ankles. It can even be liver disease. Here's what I want you to do at home. I want you to just rest comfortably for at least 10 to 15 minutes. You can be sitting on a chair, on a couch, and then elevate the leg and take your fingertip, press onto the ankle. See if it's remaining pressed. Hold it for about 5 seconds. If it's remaining pressed for that 5 seconds, that's called pitting edema. Most likely, if you're noticing this pitting edema, it's cardiovascular related. And you want to not only get your blood pressure checked, but you want to ensure your cholesterol, the circulation, is fully checked, because it may be some sort of peripheral artery disease, as in blockage within the arteries, within the venous system, and all of that is treatable. For those who are having swelling at home, you want to ensure the nighttime and the evening time you're getting time to elevate your feet. If you're on a diuretic to help relieve some of that internal circulation, that you're being consistent with your medication. But again, start with it getting checked out. Hope that answers the question.
All right, folks, once again, we're being sponsored by the kind compliments of Super Farm. You're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor. Super Farm, even more savings in store at Super Farm, your prescription of trust. We're on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5, Vibe City 105 FM, and Sangeet 106.1. Our numbers are 627-3223, 625-2257, and of course, our WhatsApp number is 306-1065. Let's take a call here right now. I thought I saw the line blinking there, right? Lunchtime Doctor, let's go to the WhatsApp. All right, I have a granddaughter, 18 months, and no teething results as yet. Is it a guarantee there are teeth in the gum, or what could be the reason for the delay?
So at 18 months, that's okay if there aren't any baby tooth erupting yet. However, I do hope that your loved one, your daughter, your son, is ensuring that your granddaughter is doing all the regular baby checkups. Because at the baby checkups in the clinic, be it both the private or public, they will also check the gums to see if there are any eruptions or the gum is starting to have the tooth come out. So that's okay. I won't be overly concerned just yet. I will, however, ensure that when the baby has their checkups, that healthcare professional just takes a look at the oral cavity. What I would also want you to make sure you're doing is that your loved ones, or even if it's you taking care, is ensuring proper cleansing of the oral cavity, and there isn't any infected areas of the gum preventing the tooth to erupt. So I hope that answers the question, and let us know what happens in about a week or two time.
All right. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon. You're live on air.
Okay, here what, eh? I visiting my doctor. I have a, well, doctor says a lungs problem. Right? Are you hearing me?
Yes, we're hearing you. You're live on air. You're visiting your doctor, and he said it's a lung problem.
More than 2 years now, they say your lungs are getting smaller. Is that true?
So yes, certainly. It may be the lung capacity is reducing. So I remember, I don't have your x-rays. I don't have any of the results in front of me, but I'm making an assumption based on what we would see with our patients. So yes, the lung capacity can be reduced if there's an interrelated cardiovascular problem.
I did a eco test. About 5 years.
Right.
And I was 40% clogged arteries. But I cannot afford nothing right now. I'm a elderly person, and I cannot afford nothing right now. So what am my doctor now? I am what I call no doctor name, but I feel I just the cough, the lungs just itch me too bad, and I just had a cough. And the only thing that past helped me is the multi symptom. So I get up to 3 hours sleep and I eat it.
Right, I understand.
Will you feel, could you recall? I mean, I'm giving it in a nutshell. That is a straight talk I'm telling you.
I understand. So here's what we want, and I have some idea of what is happening. If there's clogged arteries, that means the heart probably is having that enlargement to compensate for the clogged arteries, and now the lung capacity is reducing. There may be fluid filling up in either the heart or the lungs, and that's
what I was using Lasix. Is a tablet for water.
Yes, Lasix. Furosemide. Yes.
But let me tell you the truth. I tell you about me, after I also listen to all the medical problem and things. I feel when you get age, when you don't cross 70 years, you don't have nothing. You could get delay process until time due. I'm thinking about that.
I'm so sorry that that's the mindset. Here's the thing. If the medical personnel has recommended certain medications...
I did using prednisone.
Right, great.
And that has to damage my lungs, my kidney. So I stop it. My foot started... I have circulation blood. And I stop it. But I do the blood test and he said, look, he stop it.
Right
now, I am using nothing.
Okay.
I take tablet to just... to feel a little, to get a little sleep, and that is it.
Right.
But the cough that's persistent when I bed, oh God, in the night, you see that?
Yeah.
But there's nothing. What causes the itching of the lungs? That is the coughing now.
So let me explain. Let me get that chance to explain, right? What I understand is that you've eased off most of your medications. Once there's fluid filling up in the lungs, then there's that irritant factor. So it's not necessarily an itching, is that there's the lungs, the alveoli, that is the lung cells themselves, they're actually irritated, and that's why it's a coughing. The cough is actually a protective mechanism to help clear the fluid. Now, in light of the fact that you're not on the medications and just more medications to relieve some of the symptoms, Lasix and all these others that the doctor would have prescribed is what certainly helps in terms of keeping the symptoms at bay. But here's what you can do, because we have had many patients, especially around this time, where they feel just overwhelmed with having to take all these tablets. One, I want to make sure that you are incorporating a little 10-15 minutes of exercise every day. Get into the habit of doing some deep inhalations and exhalations, probably in the first thing in the morning, last thing in the evening, at sunrise, at sunset, and you will start to see how you yourself can build that lung capacity. Two, let's make sure we are reducing all the saturated fats and cholesterol, so you're not going to put a further burden on those clogged arteries. You already told us that 40% of the arteries in the heart are clogged. So keep in mind, we don't want it to be more than half the arteries in the body is clogged. Now, I want to address one very important thing. You said you're around that age of 70 and you're feeling, you're sounding like you've had a complete life. Yes, that's perfectly fine. But to all of our listeners, they know I have a granduncle who just celebrated his 106 years. So we do have the ability to write a good quality of life for a few more years. But yes, it takes your participation in ensuring you have good health as well. So start with simple little things at home. Just start with a deep breathing. Start with a little bit of exercise. Watch what you're eating. And next time you go to the doctor, let them know that the lungs is feeling that way. Yes, there are medications, but there are other things that we can do as well. Hope that answers your question.
All right. Good afternoon, caller. Welcome.
Good afternoon, doc. Good afternoon to you. I am not feeling well. I have nausea, and I have a little diarrhea, and I don't feel to eat.
Thank you so much for calling in. I'm so sorry that you're having these symptoms. So you said nausea, diarrhea, and having a poor appetite. One, there is a little bit of a stomach bug, a virus going around, spreading. It may be that. I'm certainly hoping that it's not the body itself. Post-viral or feeling, when one is anemic, one may feel that way. But I want you to know, if you are indeed a patient who is hypertensive, sometimes high blood pressure can present with nausea. It can also present with where you're not even experiencing any chest pain, but just that nausea, not feeling well, can be early signs of a heart attack. Now, I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm just saying that we want to not take nausea and not feeling well lightly, because it can mean different things to different persons. So please take that one step further and get it checked out. Hope that answers your question.
Thank you so much. I had an echocardiogram last 2 weeks ago and it was all right.
I'm really relieved to hear that.
I had a blood test. And all these CBC done with my platelets, and everything was all right, my liver and kidneys.
Great. So that at least has ruled out quite a bit of things. That nausea may be directly related to reflux. And I'm pretty certain the healthcare professional would have prescribed something along the lines for these symptoms. So thank you so much for letting us know.
All right. Good day, doctor. Does thyroid affect conception?
Definitely. So let's talk a little bit about this particular issue. The thyroid gland produces certain hormones, your thyroid stimulating hormone in particular, and that now affects several different neurochemicals and hormones produced throughout the body. So yes, thyroid can directly impact upon one's reproductive ability. So if there is a thyroid dysfunction, please let your gynecologist be aware.
All right, good day, doctor. I drive a lot and I have been experiencing a lot of foot pains even when I'm not driving, and also in the morning when I get up. I'm in my early 30s. Is this a cause for concern?
Definitely a cause for concern. Any person who is their daily habits are being affected and it's because of, say, one activity, or if there's pain, I am always concerned, because you must find the trigger. Pain is not something that will go away. Now, if you're in that position of driving a lot, think of the way the body is seated. Think of even the actions of the feet. If you're not getting to do the counter action, yesterday we talked about just those little hand exercises. If you're not getting to engage your muscles, it will then stay into that tightened position, and all of that could cause pain, arthritis, inflammation. Our body is quite a miraculous thing, but it can become a system of habit if it doesn't get that necessary exercise. So let's make sure you're not only exercising, but you're also engaging all of the muscle groups. A few constant stretches will certainly help. If there's pain, please make sure we take one step further and check it out.
Just like we did some exercises for the hands yesterday, are those any for the feet?
Same exact thing. Yeah. Because you're going to think about the ankle just like a joint, like the wrist. So those same exercises, and you would say mash breaks, as in press down, pull forward. Circumduction around, as in counterclockwise, anti-clockwise. Spread out the toes, claw in the toes. And you can also elevate the ankles, elevate the feet. Sometimes most persons would even say, when you're at home in the evening time, bring the into, so you're lying flat, but you're creating your body like an L. So you want to bring the feet higher than the level of the heart. That just helps the circulation throughout the body. So yes, even myself, after driving for about 2 or 3 hours, I may feel pain in my feet. And the first thing I'm doing when I'm at home is not only going up and down the stairs to get a little bit of blood flow going, but to ensure I exercise around the ankle. So yes, just like yesterday, same thing can be applied.
All right, folks, 10 minutes away from 1 o'clock. You're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor with the kind compliments of Super Farm. 627-3223, 625-2257, and WhatsApp messages 306-1065. Good afternoon, doctor. What causes headaches on the left side? Also pain on the left side of the neck and the shoulder. Having this pain for over a week now.
Right. Now, those who are listening, anytime I hear left-sided pain, I am always concerned. But if the fact that it's also in adjunct to left-sided headache, I hope you've gotten your eyes checked. Sometimes if there's a vision deficit, that may trigger headache. If there's any, and again we bring up the thing called stress, stress can start off that pain around the shoulders, pain around the left side. So let's make sure we're checking your blood pressure, ruling out if it's heart attack or cardiovascular related, and of course identifying the cause for the pain and making sure we put the measures in place to prevent it.
All right, here's a question from Sangeet. Hi, good day. Sometimes I feel like I have a hot, I think that, well, urine, and when I go to the washroom, only one drop. What's the cause of this?
So there's something called a urinary tract infection, where the bladder is so irritated, it may have that sense of urgency that you need to go to the washroom to pass urine, but then at the point of passing urine, there's a dribble coming out. It may be there's an infection of the bladder, so we say a UTI, and that's very treatable, most likely with antibiotics, and you want to increase your hydration. However, if, and it does sound like a female, I'm going to make that assumption, if one is holding up quite often and holding in for several hours, that can also irritate the valves, irritate the bladder. So you want to make sure that all of that is not happening. So let's look at what the triggers are and let's check and see if it's not a UTI. I hope that answers the question.
All right, good day, Doc. Can you assist with what can assist with excessive hair loss caused by stress, apart from stop stressing?
So, in our Sunday Guardian, I'm so sorry, I laughed every time I hear about stop stressing, because we know every day that's a question we get. When it comes now to hair loss, in our Sunday Guardian, if you jump back onto social media on the CNC3 page, I did an entire article on hair loss. There are several things and a few clinics now right here in Trinidad that look at hair replacement in terms of returning those actual parts of the skin with, in terms of the hair follicles, and returning the proper hair follicles. It may be alopecia areata. That's a very common diagnosis that happens with the onto the skin because of many different factors. And yes, it is very much treatable. There are steroidal treatments that can be applied directly to the skin, as in the scalp, to return the hair. Then there are indeed different innovations where the hair follicles can actually be re-implanted. So I encourage you to check that up. It is one of the clinics. You look for Hair Replacement Clinic or Hair Restoration Clinic of Trinidad and Tobago. Yes, and you certainly will get that restoration.
Oh, good day, Doctor. Sometimes I feel like inside my chest is scratching. What can be the cause of that scratching feeling?
So, interesting statement. That may be a discomfort, or you may be experiencing some sort of distress because it's not quite pain, but you're feeling scratching. So I'm certain I'd want to not only ask a couple more questions, but to identify, is it related to coughing? Is it related to any other sign and symptom? To just kind of narrow down what exactly is causing this discomfort within the chest. But as I always tell all of our listeners, if it's affecting your daily, everyday activity, please get it checked out.
All right. Any compression socks? Are compression socks safe to use daily, and for how long?
Excellent question. So yes, they are safe to be used. You will not try to have them on for more than 4 to 6 hours. Based on most of the compression socks out there, they will tell you, they'll give you that guidance. Make sure it's also size specific. Hope that answers the question.
Good afternoon, Doctor. I'm 49 and had a hysterectomy in 2019. Ovaries weren't removed, but no, I'm sweating really bad now. What can be the cause, please?
Right. So, again, anyone who's had to go through a hysterectomy, it's not an easy process. And then there's so many changes to the body. The fact that the ovaries were remained, then there's still that level of hormonal presence in your body that may be triggering the perimenopause time. Do not underestimate what these hormones can do to your body. I suggest make an appointment with your healthcare professional, be it your GP or the gynecologist, because there are a few checks that we would put in place, and of course different medications suitable to each patient.
Okay, we have just about 4 minutes, Doc, if you'd like to review again.
Yeah. So as we talked today, we looked at what's in our health plus, looking at the health benefits of volunteering. Again, we want to just express our immense appreciation to all the teams that made that internship for the diabetes team happen. And let me just call them out very quickly. That's Tattle, Tattle Life, Ministry of Health, Medical Associates, Trinidad Eye Hospital, SS Pacific Supermarket, and of course our appreciation to our sponsor for this program, Superfarm, your prescription of trust. I know that sometimes the program is played across all Superfarms, so if they're listeners right now there, thank you so much. Share some of that information with your loved ones. Please, let's take time out of our day and prioritize our health. Let's not wait. And this is what the typical Trinidadian response is. We're such a reactive community and not a proactive community. Or we think it's such a big investment to be proactive. But it, you realize it's simple things. Simple things like switching out, say, using water instead of carbonated drinks. Reducing your sugar. If you really want to get the flavor of sugar, why not add a little touch of honey instead? It's a little natural versus all the chemicals. If you want flavor in your food, reduce the salt, add the natural herbs. There's so many little things you can do to adjust your life and make one healthier. I'm going to give an example. Yesterday we had a meeting, and at that lunch meeting, it was a late meeting, so at that, I would say after lunch meeting, there was just a host of carbs. A host of carbs. And the person who prepared it should have known better. And I was like, this is not Dr. Saf approved, so I'm not having it. And they're like, well, Doc, what should we have done differently? I was like, well, notice, you have three carbs in that box. We could have switched out one and done a fruit salad instead. We could have switched out the meat and chosen a healthier meat portion instead. Still keeping within the budget, because of course we have to be accessible and be affordable, but just be a little bit mindful. And that's all I'm asking every single person here today. Be mindful with your choices. It's literally in your hand. Do I have to make these choices? Every single day I have to, and I choose to be healthier and happier. I hope you do too.
Well, if after listening to this program, you know, it doesn't make you want to make healthier choices, live your life healthier, do something different, I don't know what will.
I think we need to bring my uncle ever so often. We always talk about it. We need to bring my grand uncle on this program and let them hear how this elderly at 106 now, what his choices have been over the years.
All right, folks. Of course, you've been listening to The Lunchtime Doctor. We say thank you very much, Dr. Sophia Mohammed. Catch you tomorrow, same time, right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM, also Sangit 106.1. Of course, many thanks to us. Do enjoy the rest of your day.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability, the all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.